man. We really need communication with Dad's prophecy. Here's Yahweh. His son died for you. You owe him. He saved your life. Yahweh just gave me a story. Did you and I saw? Yahweh telling King David to go save that sheep that the bear took. He goes, he kills the bear, saves his sheep. What did that sheep owe that guy? And then here David comes and lays his life down with a bear and a lion for a sheep. And I was like, man, that was cool. So tonight's teaching is going to be rhetorical because I didn't know the answer to this yesterday. What have you fed Yahweh today? Does anybody have an answer?
Prayer. Worship.
Any scriptures?
No.
So feeding Yahweh. It's my obligation to feed the creator of the universe? We're going to look at some scriptures. And I didn't know this. I saw it once before, but I didn't see it. It was almost everywhere. Here's this idea. So there's an important thing about feeding things. Verrill is learning and I am learning about feeding things. And we're going to look at scriptures that says, feeding Yahweh, my food. My food. Yahweh's going, my food. And it's neat because Jesus Christ ate food too. So did the angels. They ate food. But here's a creator going, feed me. And can you imagine if your dad comes home and one of the neighbors, that food's set aside for my dad. He's getting home from work. Don't mess with it. And Colton or somebody steals it. The wrath is going to go. How disrespectful. The owner of the house is right there. Let alone if he was watching you do it. Can you imagine King David in front of all of his council at his table getting ready to eat and somebody spits on his food? Polluted it? Everything we do is in public. Nothing is in private. We're going to look at some scriptures about feeding Yahweh. And then with the word, before going to the scriptures, think about Vera wanted squirrels. So what did she do? So we got a squirrel feeder. What did squirrels, the feeders, they sell maize. Guess what came? The maize. Okay, or the squirrels. So then we had squirrels come. Okay, you want squirrels? Maize. Got it. All right. So then she wants birds. Well, I took a lesson from my father. My father used to buy bird seed, and the birds would only eat like 1/3 of it. The rest of it was garbage. So my dad did a test. What seeds do they want? I'll just buy that. And it was sunflower, Hirasol. He found out, just buy Hirasol. Birds love it. So I learned that from my dad. You want birds? Don't buy bird seed. Buy sunflower seeds. And guess what we got? Birds everywhere. All kinds of birds. What we also learned about feeding them is that if you put too much food out there, it brings grackles. Not just one grackle, but like gang member grackles that scare everybody else if there's too much food. So what did she do? She reduced the food, got rid of the grackles, because that's the company she wants. What would happen if I started putting cat food out there? What would happen?
Harold would come over.
You start getting cats. Cat food and bird food is good for the cats. What's going to happen to those birds? And we'll find out. What we do is either bringing birds or cats. Our behavior is either a sweet aroma to Yahweh or it's a stench. And we attract. And so Satan's called the Lord of the Flies. Isn't that perfect? But when we're doing wicked things and stuff, we stink. And we attract things. What you can attract skunks, all kinds of things. You don't want those things around here. But we're just going to be really focusing on Yahweh's word. And another bravo by Joseph Rotheram, the translator. There's nobody as faithful as this guy. How do you know that? Because he keeps proving me wrong. Why did you do that? I keep looking at his words. You guys will turn to Leviticus 21. And so as you're turning to Leviticus 21, the theme is feeding Yahweh. the creator of the universe, what have you fed Yahweh? We should ask people that. And they are going to go, who's Yahweh? He's your creator. You're going to get to meet him and his son someday. You might want to brush up. Why do you call him Yahweh? Nobody else does. He calls himself Yahweh. Nobody else respects his authority. Think about that. I'm going to go with what the judge says. We're going to look at acts of services towards Yahweh is like food. It's like feeding him. My mom goes out of town. Before she goes out of town, what does she do? She contacts somebody to say, here's the list for my cats. I look at your list and I go, you must be nuts. You think I'm going to do that for these cats? Then Yahweh reminds me, he said, honoring your mother and your father, I'm going to feed them 2 or 3 times. I'm going to do this and do that. Why do you do that? You want the cats to be there, right? Your acts of service and what you're doing is either feeding Yahweh or not. And what happens with Yahweh, unlike a cat, he doesn't have to stay. And there's been times in my own life that I would do things that nothing ever malicious or horrible, but stinky stuff. Nobody's watching me, and I thought Yahweh was still with me. John Shane and I did a teaching on Samson once, and Samson tells Delilah, my covenant's with Yahweh. If you shave the head, it breaks the covenant. I won't have power. They shave his head. They jump on him, and he thinks, I'll shake them off. He didn't have any feeling Yahweh had departed. And so we don't get that feeling. But if you want to keep him here, keep food for Yahweh, his messengers. I don't want to go too off track, but I want you to think about how many times a day did Daniel pray?
Three
times a day. 3 meals. Think about that as an offering to Yahweh. There's show bread. He doesn't even eat the show bread. He's eating it somehow. He'll eat it his own way. And when you pray 3 times a day, think about it as going before the king with his food. Think about, who was it? I think it was Nehemiah going before the king. When you go before the king, you have to be happy. And he wasn't happy. But his job was to take care of that king. And your prayers 3 times a day is feeding Yahweh. Memorizing scripture is feeding Yahweh. In my own mind, it was extra credit. It's not extra credit. It's the reason why you exist, Aaron. And are you doing a good job of waiting on him? So you're at Exodus chapter 21. Leviticus 21. I'm sorry, you're right. Yeah, I said Exodus. I meant Leviticus. Chapter 21. If you read all this, it's about things being holy, separate, serving a holy Elohim Yahweh. And verse 6, holy persons shall they be unto their Elohim, and not profane the name of their Elohim, for the altar flame of Yahweh and the food of their Elohim do they bring in. Vero, does it say pan?
No, the food.
It says comida?
No, pan.
It says pan. Okay, so pan means bread.
Mm-hmm.
Why does Rotherham say food? And you look it up. Does anybody know what bread is in Hebrew? Ivory?
No.
Where did David live? What town did?
Yeah, Bethlehem.
Beth means house.
The house.
Lechem is bread.
Lechem.
Lechem. And you look at this word, and it's going to say bread, and other translations are going to say bread. So, and we're going to keep reading, and Rotherham is going to say food. Why does he say food? At first, I thought it was a different word. No, it is the same word. Now you go and you look at lechem, and this word, it can be bread 237 times. It could be meat. Is meat the same as bread? No. What are they talking about?
Nutrition.
Sacrifices to Yahweh. And what do you bring to Yahweh as sacrifices? Is it only bread? No. It could be grain. It could be a lamb. It could be a pigeon. A lamb and a pigeon is what? It's not bread. And it could be loaves, showbread, Victuals, I don't know what that is. It could be fruit. And so whenever lechem is being used for a sacrifice, Rothrim changes it to food. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Slam on the brakes. What's going on here? Why is Rothrim going rogue? Everybody else calls it bread. Did you look it up? I went, that wasn't even the teaching. We'll go back. So it's going to say the bread, the food of their Elohim. What's really neat about that is Dad just did a teaching with the high priest Eli. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And the people were supposed to bring the fat, or the food, the meat, which could be lechem. I didn't know that until probably 30 minutes ago. Lechem could be meat. And they're supposed to burn off the fat. What does bacon smell like when you cook it in the morning? Does it smell good?
Yeah.
Ribeye? They're supposed to burn the fat, and the fat is supposed to be an incense for Yahweh. And Eli and his sons, Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, says, you're not going to burn off the fat and give it to us raw. Why? They wanted it. I never thought of them stealing Yahweh's food right in front of them. Here's King David, and somebody steals it. Remember, there was a time with King David when Absalom comes in and he's going to overthrow. And David's a prophet. What do? David goes, let's leave. So David leaves. One guy starts throwing rocks at David. He's the guy was the son of Saul. You're a murderer. And he's throwing rocks. What did David's friend say? Let me cut his head off. I never thought about my own life. There could be times in my life that Yahweh's angel is going to be, let me smite Aaron. No, he's just learning. But here's their food. So the altar flame of Yahweh, the food of their God. Now go to verse 8 and somebody read that.
Therefore shall thou hold him as holy, for the food of thy Elohim doth he bring near. Holy shall he be to thee.
Now think about that. You're going out to pray three times a day. Think about you're waiting on somebody at a dinner table. What shall I bring to you? Do you want this? Do you want that? I want a song. In Lord of the Rings, there's an evil steward that a hobbit vows his life to stupidly. Stupid just means slow. And he says, give me a song. And we should be ready. You want a song? You want food? You want a scripture? And if you don't know what to bring Yahweh, bring him a scripture. He loves his own word, doesn't he? It's like reciting Shakespeare. And go down to verse 17. Can somebody read that for me?
Speak unto Aaron, saying, no man of thy seed unto their generations, in whom shall be any blemish.
We're just going to pause there. Keep going. Any blemish.
Shall come near to present the food of his Elohim.
And so bringing food to your Elohim, and it's going to talk about blemishes. And the blemish here is talking about the people who are supposed to come are supposed to be a certain way. But the food is, what kind of lamb is supposed to die as a sacrifice? Does anybody know besides that?
The firstborn.
The best.
Yeah.
No blemish. When you're giving Yahweh something, the priests are going to inspect it. It was kind of nice with the chosen. They're looking at these lambs or these goats going, get that out of here. That's not even worthy. What is Yahweh supposed to be brought? The best that you have. There's been times in my life I give them the last that I have. Not intentionally. I forgot about them. Oh yeah, do you need anything? It's 9 o'clock at night, Aaron. No, I don't need anything. But if I could think of myself waiting on him, do you need more water? Would you like more meat? But no blemish, and it could be with money. I mean, are you giving him your first fruit, the best part of your investment? Where is it going? You can take the money. Money is not everything, but most people value money almost above everything, at least in Western society. It's your most valuable. Guess what he wants? Your most valuable. And it's a heart. He understands it. And it was while looking at food and these things, I couldn't help but reflect back on Cain and Abel, and the scriptures don't say this, but we know in Romans that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Something's got to die. Now we know Cain, from Dad's last teaching, was he religious? Yes. Did he bring his fruit? He's a farmer. Yes. What did he not bring? Blood. What if, and I'm just going to say what, the scriptures don't say this. What if he didn't have any animals without blemish? in order to get something without blemish, she's going to have to go to who?
Abel.
Abel. I'm not going to Abel for nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm a farmer. He's got the best thing. I'll serve you the way I will serve you. And how many times do Christians do that? I'll do it my own way.
Yeah.
And here's Yahweh goes, there is. And it could be that with Abel, at least in this thing, or Cain, the thing is, go ask your brother for the best of his stuff. And I'm not going to do that. I'll do it my own way. No, it doesn't work. But feeding him. Now verse 21. No man in whom any blemish of the seed of Aharon the priest shall approach to bring near the altar flames of Yahweh, a blemish in him, the food of his Elohim shall not approach to bring near. Of the food of his Elohim, both of the most holy and the most holy, may he eat. And turn to 22, verse 25. And if somebody would read 22, verse 25.
Even at the hand of the son of the stranger shall you not bring near the food of your Elohim.
I'm thinking about that, but think about your acts of obedience as bringing food to him. If Donald Trump came to our house, I would say, do you want me to call you Mr. President? Sir? What would you like? And he'd say, Mr. President's fine. Mr. President is it. Is. What would you like? You can have the best bedroom. I'm not going to give him the couch. But with all of our acts of service, whatever we're doing, he watches to see. Because this life is an audition. It's an invitation for what? Servants to the next kingdom. Mm-hmm. If you're not serving him here, you're not going to serve him there.
Yeah.
And the people that get it, he not... We look at Daniel's life, we look at Hadassah's life, Esther's life, we look at King David's life, and we go, wow, we haven't seen anything. Wait till we get to see them glorified. Mm-hmm. See, their life was just a seed. And they got the service right, that their purpose is not to receive from the Creator, but to serve the Creator and His Son. And to feed Him. And Yahweh watches, do you give me the best? And why are you doing these things? And we're passing auditions or we're failing auditions every day. There's some other scriptures too. Let's see here. Leviticus 3:11. And 3:16. If somebody would read those two for me.
Then shall the priest make a perfume at the altar, the food of an altar flame unto Yahweh. 16. Then shall the priest make a perfume at the altar, the food of an altar flame, for a satisfying odor, all the fat unto Yahweh.
The food of the altar flame. In Numbers chapter 28, verse 24.
Chapter
28:28-24. Did somebody read that for me?
What verse was it?
24.
Like these shall you offer daily for 7 days as a food of the altar flame of a satisfying odor unto Yahweh. Besides, a continual sin sacrifice shall be offered with the drink offering thereof.
So you got food of the altar flame, then we'll wrap up in the book of Malachi. Chapter 1, verse 3. If it wasn't for offering, it would have just been bread, whatever caught my attention. But talking about the food of Yahweh, I've heard of showbread, but the food of Yahweh. The food of his...
Here the other verse say food too.
Does it? Okay.
Only in Leviticus, the first use of the
okay, that's neat. That's it.
Malachi,
una y siete. Would somebody read this that one for me?
What verse?
Verse 7.
In bringing near upon my altar polluted food, shall you, while yet you say, wherein have we polluted thee? Because you say, as for the table of Yahweh, the thing that you despise it is.
And so now it's easy to think of, I went to somebody's house, a friend, and he's got no scriptures on his wall. No Jesus Christ. He's got like an angel. But that doesn't mean you're a Christian. And he's got two shelves with gigantic, expensive bottles of alcohol. And to me, looking, going to go, boy, you missed that test. To me, it's like you're giving an offering of alcohol. Look at my expensive alcohol. Alcohol? He doesn't think of it that way. But if we have our house full of alcohol, pornography, think about, do the birds come if there's cats? No. It doesn't matter how much bird food you got out there. We will tell ourselves, and I've been chief of it, my own behavior, me being a polluted stench, still giving things, and usually in my own case, until I was 30, I sent a message to your brother to say, here's your 20s, I wish I would have been more prepared. Because you'll be smart and you'll be successful, but one thing that I did not have is foresight. I was not thinking long term, so I learned a lot of lessons the hard way. You don't have to learn. If you stay humbled, you don't have to be humbled. And if, I think especially men through your 20s, this is the hard part. Not because it's going to be more difficult, but because now you can do whatever you want. And that's where people, sometimes they don't learn the lesson. There's a lot of people, they never come back. It's you like in their 20s. And I sent a message to your brother going, I wish I would have known. I'm praying for you. Let success keep you humble. But then it could be, now the easy things of looking at Satan is going to be alcohol, drugs, but 2 Corinthians chapter 14 says, what does the adversary really look like? An angel of light. If we have idols in our house or in our life, it is pollution. And amen. See, even the refrigerator ice goes, amen. And so we should look at that. And so what is an idol? Well, it's easy to look at somebody praying to Mary and saints and see idols, but in my own, we should all look at ourselves and say, where are my idols? I don't have any idols. Have you ever really intentionally examined your life, Aaron? Nope. I'm blind to it. And so bodybuilding was one of mine. And it was until my wife wanted me to change something. I'm not giving that up. This is my own thing. And the Yahweh confronted me. He goes, your wife really wants you to do this. I'm like, Yahweh, this is my thing. He was like, Aaron, you made a covenant. You do whatever you want. But if you say no to that, it's called an idol. I'm not giving up my thing. And it could be whatever it is. And say, and the Apostle Paul says, any other Jesus or Holy Spirit that I proclaim is adding to the Scripture. You're cursed. And so we can help people not to exalt ourselves, but to say, do you have pollution in your life or in your churches? And especially like right now, so one of the wonderful things that just happened is that our Supreme Court said that it's okay for pastors to say how they vote now. Since Johnson, pastors cannot talk about it, otherwise they lose all their tax benefits. That's what they said. But now, Supreme Court said it's not a problem. How do you vote? And if they won't tell you how they vote, they got idols. You have idols and pollution. You should be able to say, so feeding Yahweh, being His servant and His son, and if we wake up in the morning, and I'm surrounded by disciplined people, all of you, wake up in the morning, and my wife's reading the scriptures, my dad's already out running, my mom's walking for 16 miles for 2 hours praying. That's wonderful to be around people stronger than myself. And make sure you do that. You want to find people stronger than you, not weaker than you. But I never thought about it as all these things as offerings. Defeating Him and feeding Him and feeding Him. And can you imagine not feeding Him? How would you feel about me if I didn't feed your cats?
I'd be very angry.
Yeah, you'd just be like, Aaron, I thought you loved me. You didn't even feed my cats. And how many times have I not fed Yahweh and Christ? One day or 2 days. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for Rotherham showing this word lechem can be meat and fruit and grain. We thank you for each one of the believers here. And we thank you that you've given us your Ruach Kadesh to bring us closer to you. And we thank you for your confirmation. And we thank you for these words. Know, my children, that I am always expecting more out of you. Not because I don't like you, but because I love you. I love you, and I want to get more out of you. And I want you to look back at your lives. It's the people who love you, they don't give up on you. And you achieve incredible things. Look back at your life, at the wonderful achievements you've done. And you will find somebody was telling you, you got more. You can do more. So do I do this with each one of you every day, to compare yourself with my son. Are you close to the Apostle Paul? Are you close to Peter? That's how you should start each day. One day at a time. And well, that's it. I'm in.